announcements you wish to share? Voices from the past. So at the library, yes. Oh, okay. Well, welcome. It's nice to have celebrities in our midst this morning. Others, Helen. Oh, good for her. Where was this one? In Des Moines. Oh, okay. Well, good for her. Others. Snow cones and cotton candy made two appearances this week, one at the party in the park on Wednesday evening. Thank you to Marilyn for helping fill in for Pam. Kind of an emergency situation, so Pam wasn't feeling real well. She decided she should go home. She's better now. You can notice she's not here this morning. She is up in Okoboji with her sisters as they get together. When anybody has a decade birthday, they get together for lunch. Two of her sisters have homes on Westlake, so she's up there. I think she's coming home today, but I'm not sure. She may just stay. Kids Bash yesterday, thanks to Skyland for helping for the entire time. Central Park, why didn't somebody think of that sooner for the Kids Bash? I know it's a big improvement, but lots more room, spread out, a lot better location for that. Skyland and I started at 10 o'clock, and it was nonstop for 3 hours, plus another 15 or 20 minutes passed, because cotton candy, snow cones, as long as you're doing it, kids keep getting in line. I wish we would have, instead of cotton candy and snow cones, it would have been like fried Brussels sprouts, you know, or something like that. The line would go down a little, not be quite so long. But no, I'm joking. We had a good time. Totals for the week. We went through 100 pounds of ice at those two events. Dug into our third box. Now, this is from the time we started doing this, but our third box of cotton candy snow cone or cotton candy cones, there are 1,000 in a box. So we've gone through 2,000 and counting. And we have one more to do. It was a good event. And lots of kids, lots of fun. Others? We're almost, this is the 13th of July already. We're almost halfway through the month of July. Can you believe that? It's going amazingly fast, or seems to be. Other good news, I got to mow lawn yesterday, and it was getting pretty shaggy, and it was finally dry enough, so it was good to be back on the mower. No, I did not push yesterday, in case you're wondering. I'm not supposed to do that yet. After this week, I can. You know, sometimes it looks like you're going to bale hay. Well, it was close to that in spots, but got that done. It looks good. And we continue to get rain, which keeps the lawns growing, which is amazing as well. As compared to last, if you will remember last year's party in the park, Kids Bash, the whole 4th of July, or Founders Day weekend, was just hotter than blazes. It was just miserable, but this was a lot better, a lot nicer. Thank God for that. Anything else? I'll call your attention to the back of your bulletin, and then we'll invite Chris up to share a letter with us. A quiet week after this past week. We've got, English classes. Community Connection Center continues to hold English classes, and they are growing. They've got quite a few attending, and they've got three different levels. So we celebrate that and offer our space for anyone else that may want to use it. Newsletter deadline. The August-September newsletter deadline is the 30th. This will be the last newsletter, folks. while Pam and I are here. What you do with that following is up to you. But to get those things in by the 30th. Looking at the week ahead, a quiet week, board meeting on Wednesday. Keep that in mind. Wedding next weekend, the dual wedding, two couples at once. I think we've met this last Thursday, and I think we've got all the logistics worked out as to how that's going to go. It'll be at Teach Park, so it'll be an adventure, as I've never done that before. So that's what's going on. Birthdays. Pam's birthday is Tuesday. She is the guest of honor at Okoboji this weekend, and she will turn 70 on Tuesday. So she's 3 weeks older than me. So mine's coming up. But so anything else? Then I'd invite Chris to come forward and share our Mahana letter with us.
Okay. For our guests, just explain, we've been the keepers and distributors of Gladys Mahana's scholarship for 33 years. And we are going to turn that back to the school, hopefully, by the end of the year. But we had a celebration, a reunion in our fellowship hall, June 1st, and we got letters from people that couldn't come and that got scholarships. So we decided to share them, every Sunday, because we have quite a few, and just to honor Gladys and the wonderful work that scholarship has done. So this, dear Chris, I was a recipient of Gladys Mahana scholarship funds while I was in medical school at the University of Iowa from 1993 to 1998. After I learned of the upcoming reunion, I found an article in my files from the Algona Upper Des Moines dated March 11, 1993. The piece was written by Molly McDonald. Dana just met with her yesterday, and states, "She left a legacy which will touch the lives of other people's children for untold generations." I can't think of a more true statement. I know that I was just one of many people that benefited from her generosity in the past 32 years, and I'm certain that the stories shared during the reunion will reflect that legacy. Since graduation from medical school, I completed pediatric residency at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia and have been practicing pediatrician in central Minnesota since 2002. For her contribution to my years of medical education, I am so grateful. Best regards, Janelle Waterman Johnson, class of 1989.
Those people, please stand for the call to worship.
Beloved people of God, welcome to worship.
We come to worship and praise.
With love for one another, we gather as neighbors.
With love for God, we gather as God's community of love.
Our opening hymn this morning is number 569.
Thank you.
Let's join together in our opening prayer.
Loving God, thank you for being present in our lives and in this time of worship. Speak love to our hearts and wisdom to our minds, that we might grow in your knowledge of love and that our lives might bear fruit of your knowledge and grace. Amen. Do you have too much kids bash yesterday? Where's your sister? She's with Grandma, huh? Here comes Luther. Wow. Progress. Good to see you all this morning. What was your favorite thing about the kids bash? The dunk tank. The dunk tank. Like, did you get to sit in it or did you get to dunk somebody? How many times?
A lot.
A lot? Who was sitting in it?
They rotated.
Oh. You know, well, I was busy with cotton candy and snow cones, but maybe if I wouldn't have been, I could have sat in the dunk tank. Everybody would have wanted a shot at dunk the pastor, wouldn't they? Well, it was a fun day. Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I was kind of watching. I mean, the dunk tank was over on the other side of this park, but I could see it. It wasn't a very big hole to get a ball through. No. Was it a baseball or a softball? I don't either. I couldn't see that well, but that hole wasn't much bigger than a softball. It didn't look like to me. Well, good for you. Okay, I have the red bag. There's one thing in it. It's squeezable. It's not breakable. You can shake it if you want. So Sam's going to go first? See anything?
Paper.
You see toilet paper? You sure? You know what? Everybody out here is laughing because they think that's a funny, funny guess. But guess what?
It is.
It is toilet paper. Kind of an odd thing to bring to worship, but we all know what toilet paper's for. But it's for something different this morning. There's a story that we're going to read, a New Testament story. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. You remember that story? What happens? Any guesses, ideas? You remember the story. Well, let's do some details. There's this man, he's traveling, and some robbers get in his way, beat him up, leave him laying on the side of the road, and go on their way. And, a priest comes by, a rabbi, and he sees this man all beat and hurt and has lots of bruises and cuts, and he doesn't pay any attention. He just goes on by. Then there's another person, a Levite, it says in the story, that does the same thing. But a Samaritan who you wouldn't expect to do anything to help that person stops and bandages his wounds and takes him to an inn and tells the innkeeper to take care of him and goes on his way. He says, when I come back this way, I'll pay you whatever you spend. It's a story about being a good neighbor. Do you have good neighbors? Yeah. You know all your neighbors? We're all neighbors to one another, even if we don't live next door to one another. And the point of the story is that everybody is our neighbor, and we're supposed to be good neighbors to one another. So that's the story. So this morning, this toilet paper isn't toilet paper. Guess what it is?
Bandages,
and we're going to do a little, a game here. You're going to have to stand up to do it, so Dad might have to help with Luther. Does anybody have their phone handy? This is one time you're going to be allowed to use your phone in church. So here's the deal. Sam and Jack and Luther, stand up. Luther can stand here too. Oh, he says, here, Dad, come get me. Nope, I'll go to you. Okay, stand up. There's only two of you this morning, so here's the deal. Who wants to be bandaged first? Sam does. Okay, Sam, stand out here. Cell phone folk, get to your stopwatch. And Jack, you're going to be the Samaritan, and your job is to bandage Sam, but I want you to mummify him. Okay? Let's leave the head exposed, but start at the neck and work down. It'll be easier if you work down than work up. So, here we go. You got to wrap it around and around him and make him look like the mummy returns. Want me to hold it? I'll give you some slack. On your mark, get set, go! Wrap him up. Doesn't have to be pretty, and it's going to break, so do the best you can. Here, I'll get this way. You go around and around him, and I'll follow you. Sam, you're going to have to walk a little bit farther ahead so I can get around you. Keep going, keep going, keep going. You dizzy yet? I am. We almost there? Okay. I think you probably got enough. That's enough. Okay. Time. A minute. 1 minute exactly. Very good. Okay. Unwrapped Sam. Yeah, that's good. Okay, let's collect. You what? Yeah, you will take more toilet paper. You're right, because you're taller. But Sam's got to have his turn, too. Right, Sam? Here, let's move this way just a little bit. There. Are we ready? Set? Go! Which way are we going? This way? Okay, let's go this way. That'll be better. I think we're still going the same way. Let's go this way. Here we go. Keep going. I think we reversed course. Now we'll go this way. Yeah, he's just wrapping the top part. We're getting down there. Oh, there you go. You turn and we'll go around and you turn at the same time. Uh-oh. We lost our thing. Maybe that's enough. What do you think? I think it's enough, too. I would expect that. It takes longer. We almost shot a whole roll of toilet paper. That's pretty good. All right, collect it and just put it over there next to Jesus. You want to help pick it up, Luther?
Yeah.
Yep, you do that. Thank you. Oh, there's some more right there. Thank you very much. We'll put it over there, okay? Is that a good place for it? You want to sit right here?
Yeah.
Okay, have a seat. You sit right next to Sam and me. There we go. All right. The story. Who's our neighbor?
Everybody.
Everybody is our neighbor. Now, I don't think the Good Samaritan probably used that many bandages, but, yeah, you know, it's kind of an illustration. Let's pray. You can go back to your seats, and we'll continue with worship. God, thank you for the stories of the Bible that teach us so many different things. Jesus told this story of the Good Samaritan to help us understand that everybody is our neighbor, and we're supposed to be good neighbors to all our neighbors. Amen. Thanks for coming up. Are we in love with God? Do we show it in our words, our thoughts, our actions? Are we in love with our neighbors? Do they know this by our presence, our grace, our friendship? Or are we so obsessed with ourselves that we have no time, no room, no pity for others, even for God? Let's confess the limits we place on our love, so we might be filled with God's limitless mercy as we pray together our prayer of confession. They may not be beaten down or lying by the road, but there are people we pass by watching, God.
Some are family and friends. We take so much for granted, we cannot see how we have stripped them of our love and compassion. Others are neighbors who have been left half dead by crushing work, who have fallen into the hands of despair, who have been abandoned by all those who walked on by them. Many are strangers, people we don't know, but quickly judge. They are weak or poor or the enemy, or because they remind us of whom we once were or could become. Rescue us from the power of our sins, righteous one of all generations. Pour out your justice on us rather than your judgment, that we would be moved with pity and spurred to action, that we would hear of the hope that is ours and share it with our sisters and brothers, that we would shower mercy on all we meet, even as we have received forgiveness from our sins through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Children of the Most High, we are forgiven and brought into the kingdom. Be filled with spiritual wisdom. Lead lives worthy of our inheritance. Bear fruit in all we say and do and think. God has rescued us and redeemed us from our sins, setting aside judgment to shower us with mercy. We will go and do likewise. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Our first reading this morning is the beginning of the book of Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and to you and peace from God our Father. We always give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the holy ones because of the hope reserved for you in heaven. Of this you have already heard through the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as in the whole world and is bearing fruit and growing, so also among you from the day you heard it and came to know the grace of God in truth, as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow slave, who is a trustworthy minister of Christ on your behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. Therefore, from the day that we heard this, we do not cease praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding to live in the manner worthy of God, so as to be fully pleasing in every good work bearing fruit and growing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with power in accord with his glorious might for all endurance and patience. With joy, giving thanks to God, who has made you fit to share the inheritance of the holy ones in light. He delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Our affirmation of faith is in your bulletin. Please rise as you're able as we join together in affirming our faith. We believe in God, the maker of all things, source of all life, and mother of all children. Our life is in God, and in God we are one in all beings. We follow Christ, the revealer of God, who taught us to love, who gave us courage to trust God's grace, and who bid us to take up our cross and follow him. In his life and ministry and his death and resurrection, he has shown us that in losing our lives, we find him. He who was crucified is the Lord of the universe. We rely on the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, the communion of saints, the unity of the church, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and the reality of eternal life. Therefore, we devote ourselves to disciplined practice of the way of Jesus in our daily lives, so that we may grow in faithfulness and serve God in humble, confident love for the sake of the healing of the world. Amen.
Please be seated. Our focus scripture for the morning is from the Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter, verses 25 through 37. It is the story of the Good Samaritan, and I'm sharing it with you this morning from the Common English Bible. So pay close attention to the words of this portion of Luke's Gospel. A legal expert stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to gain eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What is written in the law? How do you interpret it?" He responded, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you'll live." But the legal expert wanted to prove that he was right. So he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He encountered thieves who stripped him naked, beat him up, and left him near death. Now it just so happened that a priest was also going down the same road. When he saw the injured man, he crossed over to the other side of the road and went on his way. Likewise, a Levite came by that spot, saw the injured man, and crossed over to the other side of the road and went on his way. A Samaritan who was on a journey came to where the man was, but when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. The Samaritan went to him and bandaged his wounds, tending them with oil and wine. Then he placed the wounded man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took 2 full days' worth of wages and gave them to the innkeeper. He said to him, 'Take care of this man, and when I return, I will pay you back for any additional costs.' 'What do you think?' Jesus said. 'Which one of these three was a neighbor to the man who encountered thieves?' The legal expert said, 'The one who demonstrated mercy toward him.' Jesus said to him, 'Go and do likewise.'" These are the words of our faith. Thanks be to God. A legal expert stood up to test Jesus. That's nothing unusual. It's happened before in Scripture. Jesus has been tested before many, many times in the New Testament. In fact, testing is pretty common in Scripture. If you look at the Old Testament, sometimes they think that God is the one testing. And sometimes, I guess you can think of it that way. God is the testing, and Jesus has been tested. And in this story, it's not the legal expert that's testing Jesus. The legal expert is the one that gets tested. Did you catch that? The legal expert asks Jesus a question, and Jesus turns that question on him and says, "What's written in the law? Here's a test for you. Not a paper test, but an oral test." Now, I think the way that I read this story is that the legal expert isn't so much testing Jesus as it's for his own ego. You could think of it that way, right? "Look, everybody, I know this." We test Jesus and God all the time, don't we?
We're always asking God, or thinking at asking Jesus, what do? You tell us. You give us an answer. Now, the legal expert does get his answer. He repeats it himself. He knows. But what he gets from Jesus in response is more than he bargained for. Because he's putting parameters around who is neighbor. Who is and who isn't. We still do that today a lot, don't we? We see it every day. We hear it every day. Humans that we are, faithful as we try to be, we're always attempting to bend our interpretation of what Jesus has called us to do, what God envisions us to do as God's children. We're trying to bend it to what we are comfortable with, what we would prefer to overlook or ignore. We want to have Jesus agree with us, not the other way around. Well, if you notice in the story, Jesus doesn't put up with this type of thing. He doesn't let the legal expert off that easy. He says, in essence, you know, guy, you know what's written in the law. You know the example I've set, what I've been teaching. And here's the correct interpretation. And the legal expert gets a story about who is a neighbor. And it goes way beyond anything that legal expert was anticipating or believing and probably wanting to believe. That's the way it is with all of Jesus' teaching, with all of what he demonstrates as being a faithful disciple. It always goes beyond what we think, what we're comfortable with. There's no shortcuts. No other interpretations, try as we might. We know. It's just that a lot of what requires a disciple to do is way out of our comfort zone. That legal expert, that lawyer, and some other interpretations had that revealed to him. A revelation that I'm sure he wasn't expecting when he asked the question. It's the same for us, is it not? How we interpret the faith, our faith, what we are called to do, gets revealed, exposed, if you will, again and again and again by the words of Jesus, the life that he set as an example for us. We know that. We really do know that. All that's left for all of us to do is to go and do likewise. Amen. A time of community prayer, a time for us to lift up our prayer joys, our concerns, our petitions before God and one another, knowing that God hears all prayer, listens to our prayers. And after each offering, I will say, God, out of your steadfast love and care for us, and our response is, hear our prayer. What would you like to lift up in prayer this morning? Sandy. Simsel. Prayers for Shonda as she undergoes stem cells. And prayer of thanks for Dave and Becky in supporting her in that. And prayers for your son and daughter-in-law's good friend's child who has some very, not born yet child, who has very serious health issues and probably will not live. We lift them up in prayer. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. For Marilyn's cousin's husband, who from Fort Dodge, who recently died of a brain tumor, we lift up her and her family in prayer as they mourn his death. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. Helen. Prayers for Michael McNeil, who has been in Ukraine for, two and a half weeks, helping the farmers there try to plant a crop without all the things they're used to having to make that happen. And he's back safely now. You give
a prayer of thanksgiving to God for his ministry over there and for his safe return. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us, hear our prayer. Okay. Prayers for Pastor Karen. So she just had some blood tests recently, and the results were not favorable. Don't know what that all means yet, but the prayers for Pastor Karen. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. Okay. Prayers for Helen's sister Louise in Florida, who has some type of blockage in her heart and is going to undergo a procedure to hopefully alleviate that. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. Mick. Yes. Prayers for our brothers and sisters in Texas that were affected by the tragic floods last week. Last I read, I think 119 dead and still like 100 missing and something like that. Prayers for all those families that have lost loved ones and are still looking for loved ones, and for the rescue workers that are continuing that job. The easy part's done. This is the hard part of the search now. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. Continued prayers for Nancy Walker. I think I shared with you last week that Nancy is now at Good Sam. I saw Nancy on Wednesday. She's adjusting well, but it still takes time to get adjusted to a new place. So we lift her up in prayer and pray for continued good attitude. And so far, so good. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. We just finished Founders Day weekend, or at the last day of that, a prayer of thanksgiving for the founders of our community and all the others who came after, who have built Algona into the community that it is. So those who have been born, raised here, invested in that, those who have come from other places that have contributed to the life of our community. Every one of them, every one of us is important to that. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. Sky. Prayers for our migrant brothers and sisters as they continue to live in fear of what is happening in our country right now as their rights are infringed upon. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. If you noticed, looked around the area, Algona was not the only community that had a town celebration this weekend. We lift up prayers for all the surrounding communities and any community that was celebrating whatever they celebrate. Hope everything went well and everyone was safe and had a good time. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us. You may not be aware of it, but our United Church of Christ General Synod began on the 11th and goes through this Tuesday. They're meeting in Kansas City. We pray for the delegates and staff that are working to pull that off, as well as the visitors. You don't have to be a delegate to go. You can go as a visitor, and speaking as one who has gone as both, it's a lot more fun to go as a visitor. You don't have to go to any of the meetings if you don't want to. But a couple things that are coming, of course, you can go on the UCC.org. I think you can read all the resolutions, accounts of the daily meetings, etc. But one of the things that they will be doing is approving the manual on church. That's been in the development for about the past 5 years. There's a manual on ministry. There always has been a manual on ministry. But about 5 years ago, they decided they should have a manual on church, too. The final copies, if they approve the draft, those copies will be available soon. I've read a draft of it. I don't know how much has changed between the draft and what they will vote on, but that's coming up. So that's one of probably the biggest thing that's going to be discussed and voted on at General Synod. Also, General Synod has been meeting every 2 years. I think what's going to happen due to expense and other things is that's going to happen every 3 years now. So this will be the last meeting of the every two-year cycle. The next General Synod, if I remember correctly, will be in 2028. And I don't know where that is yet, but they have those planned out in advance. So we lift up the General Synod and all the folk there. God, out of your steadfast love and care for us, let us join together in the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's now present our morning offering. Please join with me in our prayer of dedication. Bless these gifts, gracious God. May they bring your love, justice, and compassion to where they are needed most in your world. With gratitude and love we pray. Amen. Our closing song, number 350 in your hymnal. We aren't used to singing it that fast. Our names have been called to follow, to go and do likewise. So do it. Leave this place. Go into all the world to be a neighbor to everyone you meet, no matter who your neighbor might be. It's hard, but we can do it. We have God's word, Jesus' teachings, to do the things which we are called to do as disciples, as children of God. Amen.